Hi, I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan, and this is the April 29, 2024 Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. The headline on the cover is Climbing to the Top of the World. Reaching the top of Mount Everest is the ultimate goal for many climbers. Meet someone who's done it 28 times. World News, the world's most dangerous job. Sherpa guides face deadly conditions to help climbers reach the top of Mount Everest. As you read, think about what are some of the dangers of climbing Mount Everest. Words to know: altitude, noun, the height of something above sea level. Treacherous, adjective, filled with hidden dangers. Next month, hundreds of adventurers will attempt to reach the summit of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain on Earth. For many, climbing to the top of Everest's steep, icy slopes is a once-in-a-lifetime achievement. But Kami Rita Sherpa has scaled Everest a record 28 times. Last year, he did it twice in 1 week. Kami Rita is an expert guide who helps others reach the top of the world. Without support from guides like Kami Rita, it would be impossible for most climbers to get there. Working on Everest means risking serious injury or even death. As more climbers try to scale Everest each year, the job of guides is growing more dangerous. Working on Everest. Rising more than 5 miles above sea level, Everest sits on the border of the Asian countries of China and Nepal. Kami Rita is a member of the Sherpa people, an ethnic group that lives in Nepal's mountainous regions. Like many Sherpas, Kami Rita uses Sherpa as his last name. Sherpas are used to living at a high altitude, and many become skilled mountaineers. Sherpas have several vital jobs on Everest. Some work as porters. They haul food, tents, and equipment to the camps where climbers rest during the treacherous journey. Others prepare the icy path to the top, setting ladders and safety ropes to prevent deadly falls. As a guide, Kami Rita's job is to safely lead climbers up and down Everest. If a climber becomes ill or injured, guides may spend hours carrying them to safety. Danger at every turn. The conditions on Everest are punishing. The trek to the top can take several weeks, and danger awaits at every turn. The weather is harsh and unpredictable. Near the summit, the temperature never gets above freezing. At about 26,000 feet, climbers enter what's known as the death zone. The air has little oxygen, so most climbers wear oxygen masks. Even so, they can suffer from altitude sickness. This serious condition leaves them weak and confused, and it can be deadly. In the past century, more than 320 people have died on Everest. That includes more than 100 Sherpas. They're at greater risk than other climbers because they often pass through the most dangerous sections several times. On April 18, 2014, an avalanche killed 16 Sherpas on Everest. They had been carrying gear through an area called the Khumbu Icefall. Last April, 3 Sherpas died in the same area when a huge slab of ice broke off and buried them. That was part of one of the deadliest years ever on Everest. The climb continues. Why would hundreds of Sherpas do what is considered one of the most world's dangerous jobs? For many, the answer is money. The average Nepalese worker earns about $1,400 per year, but many Sherpas on Everest make twice that amount during one season. Experienced guides like Kami Rita can earn $10,000 or more for a single trip up the mountain. To earn enough money as a Sherpa guide, you need to have a lot of fame and you need to do many climbs, says Kami Rita. The dangers of the job are part of the reason Kami Rita doesn't want his children to follow in his footsteps. He's used the money he's earned working on Everest to send both of his kids to college. Kami Rita plans to keep working as a guide for at least a few more years. After 30 years on the job, he says there's still something incredible about climbing Everest. It's not about getting to the top of the mountain, he says. It's about helping different people make their big dreams come true. Economics. Hey, who shrank my cereal? As you read, think about what are some ways companies try to hide shrinkflation. And words to know, advocate. Noun, someone who argues for or supports a cause. Subtle. Adjective, hard to see or notice, not obvious. Many companies are making their products smaller but charging the same price or even more and hoping you won't notice. Look closely at your favorite snacks. You may not have noticed, but there's a good chance that your bag of chips isn't nearly as full as one you bought last year. Your cereal box may have gotten smaller too. And that giant-sized candy bar? It may not be as giant as it once was. These are all examples of what's known as shrinkflation. The term is a combination of the words shrink and inflation. Inflation is the increase in the price of goods and services over time. Shrinkflation is different. It's when a company shrinks the size of its products but charges the same price or even more. Shrinkflation is nothing new. In fact, it has been happening for decades, but it's been in the news a lot lately. Last month, Cookie Monster even took to social media to complain about it. "Me hate shrinkflation," he posted. "Me cookies are getting smaller." Cookie Monster isn't alone in being frustrated. After all, many people say shrinkflation is sneaky. "You're getting less for the same money, so it's the same as a price increase," says Edward Dworsky. He's an advocate for consumers who's been tracking shrinkflation for more than 30 years. Experts say there are ways to ensure that you're getting the best deal at the grocery store. Cutting costs. Shrinkflation is common in all kinds of products, from orange juice and yogurt to toilet paper and tissues. Companies may decide to shrink a product when the cost of making it increases. For example, if a key ingredient becomes more expensive, think sugar in cookies or milk in ice cream. Dworsky says most shoppers are more concerned with the price of an item than the size of the package. They're likely to notice if the candy bar went from $1 to $1.25, but less likely to notice if the size got a little smaller, he explains. Companies may make subtle changes to packaging, so it's hard to tell you're getting less. For example, on a store shelf, two peanut butter jars may appear to be the same size, but if you turn one over, you might see that it's indented at the bottom, so there's less peanut butter inside. And a shorter cereal box may be easy to spot on a shelf, so companies sometimes make them thinner instead. Companies might also try to hide shrinkflation with clever messaging. The maker of a sports drink, for example, may promote a skinnier bottle as easier to hold. Be a smart shopper. There isn't a lot consumers can do about shrinkflation, but being a smart shopper can help you get the most for your money. For one thing, experts say, pay attention to the unit price when comparing products. Also, Dworsky suggests that families get familiar with the sizes of the items they buy often. Do you know how many ounces are in your bottle of shampoo? What about the number of paper towels in a roll or granola bars in each box? If you know that information, you'll be more likely to notice if the amount inside changes. Then you may decide to buy a brand that's a better value. In the end, Dworsky says, the best thing shoppers can do is keep an eye on the small details. Look at the numbers, he explains. Pay attention to the fine print on the package. Bye-bye balloons. Something may be missing from celebrations in Laguna Beach, California these days. Starting this year, a new law in that city bans the sale and use of balloons at beaches, parks, and other public places. It's also against the law to release balloons into the air. Anyone who breaks the law could face a fine of up to $500. Nantucket, Massachusetts is among the cities that have similar bans. Also, it's illegal to release balloons into the air throughout Hawaii, Maryland, and Virginia. These bans are in response to growing concerns about how balloons affect the environment and ocean life. After balloons are released, they eventually pop or deflate. When deflated balloons fall back to earth, they can become litter on beaches or in the ocean. Birds, sea turtles, and other marine creatures might mistake them for food and choke on them. Sometimes animals get tangled up in balloon strings. Balloons made from mylar, a plastic material that's covered in foil, can create other problems. When these shiny balloons get tangled in power lines, they can cause power outages and fires. From 2015 to 2020, balloons contributed to more than 1,000 power outages in Southern California alone. Residents of Laguna Beach don't have to give up balloons completely. They can continue to buy balloons outside the city and use them at home. But city officials say the balloons must be properly discarded in the trash. What's Rover watching? Imagine if your dog got its paws on the TV remote. What types of shows would it want to watch? A study published in January may have the answer. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin-Madison set out to find the best way to test a dog's eyesight. They thought videos might hold pups' attention long enough to check their vision. To test the theory, the researchers surveyed more than 1,200 dog owners. They were asked about the types of shows that appealed most to their four-legged friends. Not surprisingly, pooches like watching animals, especially other dogs. They also like nature shows, but are much less interested in seeing humans on their screens. Should emojis get wilder? What do pigs, owls, and pandas have that sea stars and centipedes don't? Emojis that represent them. A study published last December highlighted that emojis don't accurately represent Earth's biodiversity. Biodiversity is a noun which means the variety of plants and animals that live in a region. Vertebrates are mammals, fish, birds, reptiles, and amphibians. Invertebrates are insects, clams, worms, jellyfish, and more. Researchers analyzed Emojipedia, the online dictionary of emojis. They found that animals are far better represented than plants and other organisms. Of the nearly 3,800 emojis, 92 are animal species, 16 are plants, and one is a fungus, parentheses, a mushroom. Plus, some types of animals are overrepresented, while there's a shortage of symbols for others, including insects. Stefano Mamola is a scientist at the Italian National Research Council and one of the authors of the study. He says many more living things deserve their own emojis. Biodiversity is much more than just cats, dogs, lions, and pandas, Mamola told reporters. He says adding emojis of lesser-known species such as mosses and ferns could inspire people to care more about conservation efforts. So when it comes to protecting the planet, emojis could be key. Real life versus emojis. Most of the animal emojis show vertebrates, animals with backbones, but there are more than 1.5 million animal species and only a small percentage of them are vertebrates. On the back page is news review, a photo, and some questions about climbing Mount Everest. If you'd like, you can ask a parent, teacher, or others to help you with the questions. That's it for this issue of Scholastic News. I'm Karen Finnegan.